So the Gemara Megillah has an interesting halacha. The Gemara Megillah, where is it? Gotta take a look. The Gemara has an interesting din. In Chaf Aleph on the base, the Gemara has a din when you learn Kriyas HaTorah on Monday or Thursday morning or Shabbos afternoon, you have to give three aliyahs. You don't make Chaysophis. Aliyah has to have a minimum of three psukim, but the entire Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So if you're just going to give three aliyahs with three psukim, you're just going to add up to 9. So somebody has to get a fourth person. So the Gemara says, either the Kohen gets four psukim, or the Levi gets four psukim, or these all gets four psukim. So the Gemara says, if the Kohen gets four psukim, hareza meshubach. So his is the best aliyah, the fattest aliyah. If the Levi gets four psukim, so his is meshubach. If the Yisrael gets the four psukim, his is meshubach. So that's what it says in the Gemara about the six fat lines, if you're looking there, the wide lines, before they become very wide. So if the Gemara would appear that Al Pidin and Ali with four psukim is more covered, more chashiv than an aliyah with three psukim. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. It's interesting, the Torah Tmima was a Levi, a Baruch HaLevi Epstein. Obviously, his father was a Levi. So, his father wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. His father wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. So his father's brother was a Levi. So he writes on a tiny seaboard when Yelein by Chal. So as it turns out, the Levi only gets three psukim. I already forgot where you'd be. You start from Baikal. Solokho, yeah. No.
Go back.
It's Polish.
Yeah, it gets
Yeah. Sometimes you have no brera. I mean, Rosh Chodesh, you have no brera. But over here, on a tiny sibur, the first aliyah by Chal is very long. More than three psukim. Yeah. The Levi starts psalacha, aleph beis gimel. You only get three psukim. Then he saw gets 10 psukim. So many. So what does he need 10 psukim for? So he writes in his autobiography, the famous autobiography that he wrote, that they translated part of it into English and they made a recall. They didn't like the way they translated it. So he writes that his uncle, his father's brother, was a Levi, and when he would get this aliyah, he wouldn't say the bracha shenasalon. He would insist, I'm not going to say the bracha. He insisted the Malkar should go weiter. I stealing a pasuk from the Yisrael. The Yisrael has another 10 psukim anyway. He's going to have 4 psukim anyway. It's no big deal because the Gemara says that it's a more chashiv aliyah if you have four psukim.
Who put it together that way?
I don't know.
Nobody knows. I mean, I've been checking.
Not from the times of Ezra. No, you have in different chumashim.
Different places.
Often it's in different places. And in different kehillahs they also have. Yeah, last week also. They stop in different places sometimes. Rav Soloveitchik also had a whole list of shinuyim. He didn't always follow what's printed in the
Chumash.
Right, as long as you follow the rules and regulations from the Gemara. The quote from the Vilna Gaon that what is printed in the Chumash, Sheni Shlishi Rivi, is La Malav Lamar. You have a right to ignore the whole thing. Right, it doesn't mean anything. So here also on Parsha Zohar.
What happened? So they let him alone behind?
Yeah, he insisted he wasn't going to say Ashenot Salon until they give him another pasuk. And then the Yisrael gets anyway. Ben Kavakar gets another 10 psukim along aliyah. So by Parsha Zohar, all you have are three psukim. You can't make it any better. But the Mishnah Brura quotes Agansa Maisa. Here the last three psukim in Parsha Kiseitze, Parsha Zohar. So psukim Yud Zayin Yud Ches Yud Tes. It's only three. There's no way to extend it to make it longer. But the Mishnah Brura quotes that there is a question as to what is the correct pronunciation of the word Timche Zecher Amalek or Timche Zecher Amalek. That some say that only one said the correct pronunciation is Zecher. So most places they say if you want to, the Mishnah Brura recommends you should be Mahadrim, and a Mahadrim should say twice. What do you say, what twice? So most places they say the phrase twice. They say the word twice. Or they say Timche Zecher Amalek, Timche Zecher Amalek. Say the phrase twice or the word twice. And in some places they're makbet to say the pasuk twice. You say the pasuk twice, then you got four psukim.
One pasuk is not good.
Huh?
One pussy is not good.
Yeah, no, nah, but he had it either way. Whether he said zecher or zecher, either way is good. The only shayla is that cheshbon correct? Because in the other places, when you get four psukim, there are four different psukim.
Yeah.
Over here, it's three psukim, and one of them you read twice. Does that count? If you're talking about a minimum number of psukim, you want to have three psukim, you want to have four psukim, you want to have ten psukim. Does that count? The fact that you have one pasuk repeated. Yeah, but not in the same aliyah. Yeah, from one aliyah to the other. What about for the same aliyah? So Tosfos quotes in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says like that. On Purim, the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim comes only has nine psukim. Kriyas HaTorah on Purim is the end of a shalach. Okay. Yeah. Kriyas HaTorah on Purim starts by Yovah Amolek from Pasuk Ches Tes Yud through Tes Zayin. So it's only nine psukim. So Tosfos raises the question: how can you lay the whole Kriyas HaTorah? You have three aliyahs. Three aliyahs, each aliyah has three psukim, and that's all. And that's the end. You only have nine psukim. So the Mechaber paskins like the Chachmi Svara that you have to say the last pasuk twice. The last aliyah consists of four psukim. Which four? The three that are printed, and you repeat pasuk tezayin. Well, you have pasuk yudalad, tezvav, tezayin, tezayin. So that counts as four psukim for the same aliyah. You read the same pasuk twice, and it counts for four psukim for the same aliyah. You don't change anything here. You just say Vayom Kiyor Al Kais Kam Lucham Al Shem Amolik Medar Dab. Vayom Kiyor Al Kais Kam. The same pasuk twice counts. That's when the Mechaber paskins like the Chachmi Svara. Tosfos says not so. Tosfos over here on Chof Aleph from the base yes Takasha and Megillah Daf Chof Aleph from the base the bottom Tosfos Yim Taimar. Gemara says the Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum. Always has to have a minimum of ten psukim. In other words, somebody has to get three aliyahs and three psukim each. Somebody has to get
four.
Oh, I forgot he missed. Mr. Diamond mentioned that he has yahrzeit. I got all the tumult. Lech Diamond mentioned that he has yahrzeit to speak for his father. When? Yes. Today. Yes. Today he has chesed. Oh, tonight. Tonight. So we should dedicate the learning in memory of his father, Rav Nachman ben Noach. Okay. I got all the tumult here. So the here Tosfos here asks Akasha, how do we lane Parshas Amolek on Purim? It only has nine psukim. And the Gemara says you have to have a minimum of ten psukim. So Tosfos doesn't give the answer that you lay in the last pasuk twice. Tosfos gives the answer that you said, it's salik in yonah. If it completes the whole topic, then nine psukim is enough. And Tosfos gives a dugma from the Gemara later, Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, that the Gemara says on Chav Gimel that the Haftarah was instituted mid the Rabbanon mechuvan keneged Haftarah from the Navi. So the Haftarah was instituted in Mechuvan Keneged, the number of psukim that you need in Kriyas HaTorah. The Kriyas HaTorah, let's say in Parshas B'Shalach, it says how many psukim there are. It's a lot of 100 psukim. So you don't have to have 100 psukim in the Haftarah. Oh, so the Gemara says, how many aliyahs do you need on Shabbos? Minimum of 7. You can make a Shabbos, but you don't have to. 7 aliyahs. Every aliyah has to have minimum of 3 psukim. 7 times 3 is 21. So every Haftarah on Shabbos has to have a minimum of 21 psukim, because the Kriyas HaTorah requires a minimum of 21 psukim. On Yontif, where you only need 5 aliyahs, if you want, you can make by Sofis. So 5 aliyahs times
Yontif,
3 psukim. Mikra din we pass can you make? We're machma like the Ran, there's a machloikis. So the Mishnah seems to say that you may make by Sofis. We always make by Sofis on Yontif. We always make. Maftir. We always make Maftir. There have been a time paskins that Maftir could have been oiler leminyan hakruim. Maftir really could be included. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Here on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph and Gila, it's a machlokes amaroyim. Let's say on Shabbos, you give 7 aliyahs and then maftir separate, or no, 7 aliyahs and the last aliyah is the maftir. So that's a machlokes amaroyim, where the maftir is oiler leminyan hakruim and maftir is ain oiler. So the Rabbi in Tam says that we pask in the maftir is oiler leminyan hakruim, but haraya on a tiny seaboard. Tiny seaboard, you only give 3 aliyahs, and the third aliyah is maftir. So if the din is that maftir is not included in the minyan hakruim, so you should give 3 aliyahs and then give maftir. So it's a raya that nikra din maftir counts as one of the aliyahs. I hakam on Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, we give 5, 6, 7 aliyahs and then you give maftir separate. So the Rabbi Natam says, look, you may as well make all the shittas happy. You're allowed to make Hoysofis on Shabbos and Yom Yom Kippur. You're permitted to make Hoysofis. You may as well make Hoysofis. So make Hoysofis. Make all the Shittas happy, even if you hold that Maftir is not oil. But Mikra Din, bottom line, he says, we pass on the Maftir is oil, but Haraya, from the Tainus Tzibah. So Lamaisa, we always make Chai Sofis. According to Rabbi Natan, we're always making Chai Sofis.
Are you Kippur, you make Chai Sofis?
The Meikar Adin, we are making Chai Sofis because we give six aliyahs on Yom Kippur. On Yom Tov, we give five aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, we give six aliyahs. And on Shabbos, we give seven aliyahs. The more important the day is, so the more aliyahs you have. So Meikar Adin, we always make a Chai Sofis on Yom Kippur. Just says, the Morgan Avram says, you shouldn't make additional Chai Sofis in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, because the way we have it worked out, the minig, every aliyah ends off with a theme of kapora. Chippa bado biad beiso. So we're going to have make a sofer. It's going to end off with zvikas adam or shchitas hakorban. It's not going to end off with a theme of kapora. And the way we have it broken down to the only to those six aliyahs with the HaTorah, so every aliyah ends off with a theme of kapora. So that's a minig. Mikra din, if you want to. We do make oisof on Yom Kippur. The mafter itself is oisof.
Maybe a person like that Mandoma says that the mafter is not oisof in a means. That's why you have the mafter, not because you're allowed to make on a sofa.
That's what the Rabbeinu Meshulam. Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Meshulam doesn't agree with the Rabbeinu Tam, but the Rabbeinu Tam proves that he's right from a Tainus Tzibur. Then whenever you have a Tainus Tzibur, you only have three aliyahs, and you're not permitted to make oisofas on a Tainus Tzibur. And the mafter is the third aliyah. So that's a right. The Mikra Adim we pass the mafter is oilul aminyan akuin. Right.
Same feather.
Right. Does it make a difference? The Rebbe holds it makes a difference. The Rebbe says that when you're laning over again from after what you laned already before, so you say Kaddish at the end of the last aliyah before the mafter. When you're going to lane from Pashas Pinchas, then it's not right. You shouldn't say Kaddish until after you finish the mafter. We don't follow that, right? We always say Kaddish in between the Kriyas HaTorah and the mafter. It doesn't. Right, right. He brought that right also? Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch it says that minig is that on Simchas Torah you make many oisofas. Everybody gets an aliyah. So you see, right there, like the Rabbi in the Tam, that Mikra, and then you may make oisofas on Simchas Torah.
But the whole idea that the more kedushas hayom, you need more kuim. So in this way, you sort of eliminate that indication.
That's what the Ran Tainus. He says if you can make as many oisofas as he wants on a regular yontif, you can give 10 aliyahs. So how are you going to see that Shabbos is more important than yontif? Yontif, you give 5 yontif. Chalamoid and Rosh Chodesh only give 4 aliyahs. A normal day give 3 aliyahs. Chalamoid and Rosh Chodesh give 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov give 5 aliyahs. And Yom Kippur give 6 aliyahs. Shabbos give 7 aliyahs to show which is more important than which. But if you can make yourself, you can give 15 aliyahs on Yom Tov, and on Shabbos you're only going to give 7 aliyahs with a mafter, so how are you going to see what's more important than what? So that's what the Ran on the Rif and Megillah, the Ran claims that you're only permitted to make yourself on Shabbos. You can make yourself on Yom Tov or on Yom Kippur, so you're gonna Shabbos is gonna lose its chashivas. You're gonna have cases where you're gonna have the same number of aliyahs on Yom Kippur, on Yom Tov that you need on Shabbos. So you're taking away from the chashivas of Shabbos. So usually all year long we're machma like the Ran that we don't make any hoisofas on Yom Tov. We don't make any hoisofas on Yom Kippur. But Mikra Adin, it's not really true. Mikra Adin, we are making hoisofas. The mafter itself is always a hoisof. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam argues. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make
a difference. According to that, that Machlokes after two.
Where the mafter oil the menu crude. I think he also paskins like that.
Is it oil?
I think he paskins it is oil. Chadoma ain't oil. I don't know. They have the tzion on the letter, ain't oil. I don't remember. Chadoma ain't oil. Gotta take a look. I don't know. So here the Gemara makes this cheshbon. The Gemara says, how many psukim do you have to give for haftarah? So on Yom Tov, where you only have to give 5 aliyahs, and every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. So the after on Yom Tov is enough if it has 15 psukim. But on Shabbos, when you have to give a minimum of 7 aliyahs, and each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, so the minimum kriyas haTorah on Shabbos has to consist of 21 psukim, so the haftarah has to have 21 psukim. So the Gemara affects Akasha, but the haftarah on Parshas Tzav, there are Rani Akora, there are a few. I think the Gemara has Parshas Tzav, the Gemara chapters on. Doesn't have 21 psukim. Oh, so there are quite a few by us. So the Gemara says, I think the Gemara only mentions this one from Yirmiyah, Parshas Tzav, but there are a few like that. So the Gemara says, if it's Salik in Yonah, if it completes the whole theme, it's finished, so then you don't have to have 21 psukim. So Tosfos says, just like the Gemara said, that you don't need the 21, the number of 21 psukim and the number of 15 psukim whenever it's salik in yonim, whenever you finish the whole theme in less than 21 psukim. Similarly, this halacha that requires a minimum of 10 aliyahs for the whole kriyas haTorah, 10 psukim for the whole kriyas haTorah, if you have 9 is ginuk. If you're salik in yonim, the whole parsha samolik is finished in 9 psukim, safartik. That's what Taisa says. Rav Soloveitchik had an interpretation that's not exactly what Taisa said. He had his own vort over here. And I was an apikoros. I used to think, what are you making up his own things? Then 20 years, 25 years after I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, I saw the Bali HaTaisa say like that. He said, where do these ideas come from? That every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the whole Kriyas HaTorah as a whole has to have 10 psukim. Why do they hop on numbers 3 and 10? So he said, it sounded funny to me. I thought it was a harif. So he said, sometimes you have 2 psukim and you didn't even begin to scratch the surface. And it still didn't say anything. He didn't even say what topic you're talking about. You don't even have a title yet. So he says, sometimes you have to have the third pasuk
in order
to begin to start. To start in Indian. So he said, an aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim to make sure that at least he started in Indian. Chachi started. If you're going to get less than 3 psukim, sometimes you didn't even start. And the entire Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim, because in 10 psukim you will have completed an inyan already. Sometimes you have a parsha that's longer than 10 psukim, you didn't complete the entire May to Z. But a good part of it. At least you completed a significant. So I thought it was a harif. And then years later I found the Bali HaTorah on Chumash. They befarish like that. They say you never have in Chumash 3 psukim in a row that don't say anything. Sometimes you have 2 psukim that didn't really tell you anything new, but you never have 3 psukim in a row without having some new theme brought up. That's what they say to Feresh. So Rav Soloveitchik said, since the whole purpose of having 10 psukim in the entire Kriyas HaTorah is to complete an inyan, so if it's salik in yonah, so you finish the inyan already, so you don't need 10 psukim. That's not exactly what Taisus said. Taisus quotes the raya from the 21 psukim. The 21 psukim or the 15 psukim on yontav, that's not for the purpose of salik in yonah. The Gemara seems, the way Taisus quotes it from the Gemara sounds like a different word. That if something is a self-contained unit, it's already completed, then it has such a big chashivas, it's more important than all the 21 psukim. What are you going to gain by having more quantity if you finish the whole davar sholem? So shine, you have everything, you have everything finished. Let's say, just as a wild mashal l'ma davar doima, let's say a person is prepared to begin a meal. On Tuesday night, he's ready to eat supper, and he's going to wash, he's going to say amoitzi. He has different breads on the table. As far as he's concerned, they're all the same. He can say amoitzi. This one, that one, the other one, doesn't make a difference. They're all the same. And one of them is a gigantic challah based on a chasen, it's so big, but someone cut off the nose of the challah. So it's a little bit missing over here. Another one is a tiny little bukala, a little roll that's a davar sholem. So the Gemara says it's preferable to say all week long, not only on Shabbos. It's preferable to say amoitzi on the pat shleima, on the little one that's a prusa, rather than to say on the little one that's a shleima, rather than to say on the gigantic one that's 100 times bigger, that's a prusa. So you see that shleimus, that's how the Bali Musa used to quote from this halacha. You see that shleimus is more important than quantity. You can have such a big quantity, but if it's not a davar sholem, it doesn't have as much chashivas as the thing that's a davar sholem. So the pashtus is that's what Taisus is driving at over here, because they gave a mashal. If it's shalim in yana, salik in yana, in 9 psukim, that's the equivalent of 10 psukim, and they give a dugme from 21 psukim. That on Shabbos you need a minimum of 21 psukim in a haftorah, and if it's salik in yana, it's a complete inyan, finished already. So davar sholem has more chashivas than more quantity, more and more and more quantity. That's the pashtus and taisus. Rav Soloveitchik said it over in his language. He thought that maybe it's a special part of the 3 and the 10. The 3 means at least he began a topic, and 10 means that you completed a topic. So if you mamish completed the whole theme, and 9 psukim is better than 10. The whole idea of 10 is that you should have completed an inyan. You finished the whole inyan. All completed the whole inyan. That was his word. That was his chariot. Anyway, this is the suggestion that some have, that a recommendation to lean over the last pasuk in Parsha Zohar, even because without the zecher and zecher, even without that. And then, if you lay it over twice, so you have succeeded in gaining that aliyah, Parsha Zohar, has 4 psukim. According to some Rishonim, Parsha Zohar is the only Kriyas HaTorah that's there, Isaac. The Gemara has a discussion over here of whether Kol HaTorah Kula B'Loshna HaKodesh Nemra, Afkala tarakula b'chol loshen nemra. What's the shaila here on Yud Zayin Amud Beis? The top places talks on the Gemara. The Gemara has a question. They're not sure what the Tanoim hold. What is that? What do the words mean? Kala tarakula b'chol loshen nemra. Afkala tarakula b'loshen. What's the shaila when the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu High Sinai? Whether he dictated it in English or in French or in Loshon HaKodesh, of course he dictated in Loshon HaKodesh. The Aseres HaDibros was proclaimed in Loshon HaKodesh also. What's the shaila where the Kol HaTor Kul? So the Pashim Shani Gemara goes, when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, are you Yotze Kriyas HaTorah only in the original Hebrew, or can you be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah if the Kriyas HaTorah is in translation in some other language? The Tosa says, what Kriyas HaTorah? All Kriyas HaTorah is only the Rabbanon. Where do you have a Kriyas HaTorah that's their Isa? So the answer is Hakel. Hakel, once every 7 years. You have Hakel as a Kriyas HaTorah, that's their rice. All right. Is there anything more closer to home? Could also be. So then Tosfos says, Parsha Zohar. So Tosfos says, Parsha Zohar, every year is a deraisa. That's what they sound. The top Tosfos on Yud Zayin on the base. Kriyas HaTorah, all year long, Edim and HaTorah, Lamed Rabbanu, Levad Parsha Zohar, the Habit deraisa. Parsha Zohar, once a year, that's a Kriya deraisa. That's why there were Rabbanim in Europe who wanted to have the Bekovah Dikaliyah, so some shuls they give Oz Yashir to the Rav, and some shuls they give the Teichachet to the Rav. Magen Avraham has such a meaning. The Rav is Eichet to get the Teichachet. And some shuls the Rav gets Aseres HaDibros, or whatever, Chazak, whatever. And they quote other Tzadikim, other Talmid HaChacham wanted Parsha Zohar. That's the only Kriya that's their eyes. All the rest is all the same. Aseres HaDibros, and Chazak, and Shiras Hayam, it's all the same thing. But Parsha Zohar, that's their rice, and everything else is only the Rabbanon.
How do you know what's the
rice? Oh, the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim that is their rice. Zohar. Aisha Shasa Lecha Amalek, Zohar, Yachal Belev, Tam Eloim Belay Sishkach, Harei Belev Omar, Hamani Mekam Zohar, Zohar Bepe. The Gemara darshan is a whole post.
It doesn't say it has to be.
The fact that we lay in the Shabbos before Purim, that's clearly only the Rabbanon. But the Sefer HaChinuch raises the possibility, and that's what a Psachreinim like, that possibility. That Minatera, maybe it has to be once a year, every year. Because
yeah.
The Shir Shikha is from year to year. So maybe the Din Deraisa requires that you shall learn. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. If you have in mind to be Yotze with the Parsha Zohar.
Rav makes an announcement on Parsha Zohar.
Right. So this is an Einfall that some have, that you should... you should lay it over the last pasuk twice, so this aliyah will have four pasukim, will have more of a chashivas. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you read over
Zayver
and
Zecher,
one of them is wrong.
Right, that's what he is. The pashtus is that b'dieved yoytze anyway. B'dieved yoytze, even if you mispronounce a word, it's not really mishana the inyan. The shaila is which is the more correct way lachatchila. No, but b'dieved either way is good. Tainus Esther, Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that the Rishonim say Tainus Esther is a different kind of a Tainus from the other Tanaisim. The other Tanaisim that we observe, Tisha B'Av and Sarah B'Tavis and some Gedalia, these are Tanaisim of Avelis to commemorate the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It's a Nihu Gavelis, Tainus Esther Adarabba. They were Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they fasted and the Tfilas were answered. So the Rishonim use a Lashon that it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. That's the expression that the Sefer HaEshkel has. That Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. Yeah. That we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we fast, and just like then our prayers were answered. We said we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our prayer should be answered again. We should write to help him, we should have a Yeshua now as well. There may be several nafkaminis in this. The fact that the Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. The Sefer Heschel says this, Tafarim for Akasha, that the Balamor and all the Rishonim worked hard on. The Balamor was a Talmud of the Sefer Heschel. The Sefer Heschel was written by the Ravid. By the Rabbeinu Avram Av Bezin of Narbona, is also known as the Ravid. Sometimes the Shach says in Yerodeh, sometimes there's a Stira. Some Rishonim quote one way the name of the Ravid, and others quote differently. So has Stira between the Ravid. So he says two Ravids, two different people. The second Ravid was the son-in-law of the first Ravid. He met the Ravid with the Balamor, learned Bechavrusa by the Ravid. The Ravid Bala Eshkol, and the Ravid married his daughter. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, he quotes this kasha from the Rishonim that they're all working on. How are you permitted to fast on Erev Purim? In the Megillas Tainis, It has a list of all of these Yamim Tovim that the Chachamim introduced, Midrabanan, and some of them are so serious a Yontif that not only is Megillas Tainis means that it's a Yontif, you're not allowed to fast on that day, and if there's a Levi, you're not permitted to deliver a Hespit. Not only on Purim, you're not allowed to deliver a Hespit, even Erev Purim also, you're not allowed to. So if you're not allowed to fast on Erev Purim, so how can we fast Tainis Esther on Erev Purim? So all the Rishonim work on that kasha. So the Raiva, the Balo Eshkol, gives a teretz. He says, no, that means a person has yahrzeit, or he's worried about something, nervous about something, so you're not allowed to fast a Tainis shall ace Tzorah, that kind of a Tainis. But a Tainis shall Simcha that you're permitted to fast, and the Tainis Esther that we observe, after that, that's the Lashon that you use, that's a Tainis shall Simcha, that's okay. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over Halacha Lamaisa, and again Halacha, he said like this, that the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Achrayim, based on the Ramban and the Taras Adam, that on the other Tanaisim, let's say on Asar Betavis and some Gedalion, Shivasa Betams, Mikar Adin, you're permitted to wear leather shoes, and you're permitted to bathe. It's just Achil Shtiyaz Asa. All the other Chamish Inuim Amut, Antish above all the Inuim Arasa. Tashm Shamita, Leilo Kiyomo, you have to fast 24 hours on Tisha B'Av, and Nila Sasandal, and all of the Chamish Inuim Arasa. The other Tanaisim, some Gedalia, so the same Shavasa B'Tam is only Achil Shtiyaz, and only by Yom, not by Laila. And nonetheless, the Achrayim recommend that a Bal Nefesh Yachmer Alatzmo, because Mikra Adin, it really should have contained everything, because it's a Nihu Gavelis over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So then she used to say, yeah, that's on those that are Nihu Gavelis over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But he said, on Tainis Esther, it doesn't even make sense as a Midas Chasidus to wear sneakers, or not to bathe, or to abstain from Tashmi Shamita. He said, it's not an Avelis Dik. Tainus, it's a Tainus Shal Simcha. So he says there's no Hidr mitzvah over here to prave all of the, there's no Binus Chassidus to prave all of the Inui. It's a question is if it's mentioned in the Gemara. And the very first daf on Beis Amid Aleph, the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, he claims that that's called Yom Kehila Lakoli. The Gemara in the first daf talks, Erev Purim, the Gemara says, for sure you can be Yotze Mikra Megillah. And Erev Purim for the Bnei HaKfarim Shemakdimim Liyah Maknisa, because that's for sure, that's Yom Kehila Lakol. What does that mean? That's around 15 lines from the bottom. Yud Gimel's Man Kehila Lakoli. So Rabbi Natam says that means Tainis Esther, that everybody gathers together for Tainis Esther. The other Rishonim claimed that it was post-Talmudic, that it clearly wasn't in the days of the Anshei Knesset Sagdola, the Balamor, and the others say that it couldn't have been, it was way later. The Gemara says that the Yud Gimel is Man Kehila Lakol in the days of the Anshei Knesset Agdeila. So that's a question, can that be? The question, when was Tainis Esther instituted? There may be another Nafkamino also. The Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses the fact that the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the children before Bar Mitzvah are supposed to have chinuch for fasting on Yom Kippur. There's a Mishnah in Yuma. What about chinuch for fasting? It says in Yuma, if the child is healthy, most children in America are very healthy. Overhelping. So it says in the Mishnah Yuma that if the child is healthy, 2 years before Yom Kippur, he should fast the whole day, and two years before Bar Mitzvah, he should fast the whole day, a boy or a girl, and 2 years before, he should fast half a day. And before that, he shouldn't let him fast at all. You should try to encourage him that they shouldn't fast, that they should eat. But 2 years before and 2 years before that, you should have chinuch. What about chinuch on Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Tevis, some Gedal, Yeshivasa B'Tamas? So it says no. Even if the child is going to be bar mitzvah tomorrow, he's permitted to eat. In fact, there's even a diyun, the Avnei Nezer has a fascinating tshuva. A child was born on Yudov, and 13 years later he becomes bar mitzvah on Yudov, and let's say the year he becomes bar mitzvah, Tisha B'Av is a nitche. Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and it's a nitche. So everybody's fasting on Yudov, and on Yudov he is bar mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer has a whole tilpul. Is the fasting on Yud Ovah Tashmum and for the Chiyuv to fast on Tisha B'Av? So Tisha B'Av wasn't yet Bar Mitzvah. Yesterday wasn't Bar Mitzvah, he's not Mechuyuv to fast. Even on Yud Ovah, when he's Bar Mitzvah and everybody else is fasting, Darfanish, because he's not Mechuyuv in Tashlumin. Or should you say no, that whenever Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it's not that it's Tashlumin that you fast on Yud Ovah. That's the Takana. The Takana is, on the normal circumstance, you fast on Tisha B'Av. And when it's Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, the Yikar Takana was that you should fast on Yudov. So this child is Bar Mitzvah, will have to fast. That's a tshuva in Avnei Nezer, and he shows the whole pilpul, what the Mechaba holds and what the Ramah holds. He claims that it's a question in Rishonim and a question in how to pass him. What's the nature of fasting on Yudov? But that says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no chinuch at all on fasting on the other Tanaisim. So why not? Moshe has a whole tshuva, he quotes the Shagasari. Moshe wants to give his own hezba, but he quotes the Shagasari, not like him. Shagasari says, because in the end of Yeredeya, we paskin that there's no chinuch for Avelus. Let's say a person dies and he has children who are before Bar Mitzvah. So the din is they can go to yeshiva. They don't have to observe Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, nothing. If they'll be all saddened over the death of a father, a brother, whatever, and they're all broken up, they don't want to go to yeshiva, they want to cry.
Don't go.
So don't go. if they don't want to go, you can't force them. But if the child doesn't take it to heart, he doesn't understand what it is or whatever, nishmachuyev. If the child is before my mitzvah, so is machloikis, and we pass from Shulchan Aruch that there's no chinuch and avel, whatever the hezber. Moshe has a whole shuvah. What's the hezber for that? And he gives nafkaminis ladina. But that's the din that there's no chinuch for avelus. So the Shagasariya says that that's the reason why there's no chinuch for fasting on Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia and Shavasa B'Tamas, because fasting on these four Taneisim is a nihug avelus. So there's no chinuch for avelus. If that's the reason why, then fasting on Tainus Esther, there should be chinuch. That's a Tainus Shal Simcha, that's not a Tainus. Just like there is chinuch on Yom Kippur, because your fasting on Yom Kippur is not avelus. It's a happy fasting. It's not a nihug avelus of fasting. On Tainus Esther, there should also be chinuch. Unless you say like Ramosha doesn't like the Shagasari, he claims a different time. The Chachamim never instituted chinuch for difficult things like fasting. You have to much choice the children, they should fast. I am Kippur state of the fairies that there is chinuch. So he says, yeah, that's the rice, and this is the Rabbanon. He says, by the Rabbanon, that's Oish Muchin in the kinder. That's what he says. No, if that's so, then it applies to Tainus Esther as well. But if you say the way the Shagasari says, the cheerful reason, then in the comment that children before Bar Mitzvah should also fast on Tainus Esther.
Why did they institute Tainus Esther later on? I mean, what prompted Chazal to put it? And if they didn't institute it then, when it happened?
The Balamor proves that Bizman Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, they couldn't have had Tainus Esther then, because he says the day Yud Gimel was another Yontif. He used to have every Montag and Donishtig was another holiday in the Gilas Tainus. So we, from all the Yom, I'm talking from the Gilas Tainus, we only have two of them left over. We have Chanukah and Eitz Yontif, we have Purim. And all the others we no longer observe. After the Churban Basheni, we don't observe them anymore. But there were many more, Bizman Basheni. So Yud Gimel always was another holiday in the Gilas Tainus. So the Balamor Tainus, how can you say that Tainus Esther is all the way back from the days of Mardchav Esther? Shteitach and the Gilas Tainus, that it was a day Delola Mispet Bahon, you're not Lola Sanoa Bahon. You're not allowed to fast on Tainus Esther, not because Lefnehem, not because it's Erev Purim, because it itself is Yom Nikanor or something, was another, Yom Karyonis or something, was another holiday that you weren't allowed to fast. He claims that it was instituted later. Why did they institute it later? This number. This Kavona, no, that just like they fasted and their prayers were answered, so we fast today, our prayers should be answered. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, after years later, after the Churban, so they instituted a new Tainus Shel Simcha. Okay, but still, to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should have a Yeshua. There may be yet another nafkamina in this. The fact that Tainus Esther is different from the other Tainesim, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha as opposed to a Tainus Shel Avelus. A nafkamina, there are a few boys in Yeshiva getting married this week. So Tainus Esther is going to be something getting married, Leil Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is going to be in the middle of Shiva Simei HaMishta. So what's the din if you have a Chos and Kala in the middle of Shiva Simei HaMishta? Do they have to fast on the Taneisim or not? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Mem. Oh, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch like this. If it's a Tisha B'Av Shenitche, the Gemara says, Bizman Bayisheni, Mishnayis and Tainus, Bizman Bayisheni, there were different families who would donate Korban Eitzim to the Beis HaMikdash on different occasions during the year. Rosh Chodesh Adar, this one, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that one, and Tesav of the year, that one, and different. So it says on the day on which they donated their Korban, any Korban, this was also Korban Eitzim, and there which they donated their Korban, they would celebrate it like a Yontif, and they wouldn't fast. So the Gemara says it happens that Rav Lozab Rav Tzorek says he was from a certain family. He married into a certain family, and they used to celebrate every year on Yud Av was their day of Korban Eitzim. So whenever Tisha B'Av would be a Nitche and everybody else in the world would be fasting on Tisha B'Av, he wouldn't be fasting. He would be celebrating because Yom Tov Shalom Hayah.
Wait a minute. Did you once say that they didn't keep it from the second base Mitzvah? They didn't keep it.
The Gemara discusses when was it? What they're fasting Tisha B'Av, Korban Eitzim.
Yeah,
Korban Eitzim means Bizman Beis HaMikdash, and Tisha B'Av is after the Churban. So what? They were fasting during Bizman Bayis Sheni. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, they fasted Tisha B'Av during Bizman Bayis Sheni. And others think that it's not correct. It's the question historically. Did they fast during Bais Sheni on Tisha B'Av? So that's the Gemara in Erevin talks about this. When did this story happen? The story happened as Man Bais Sheni or after the Churban Bais Sheni? That they still continued to celebrate the Yom Korban Eitzim after the Churban Bais Sheni. So it's a question exactly when, how could it be that the both things happened on the same day? But I'll come upon him, the Gemara says like that. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's what they quote from the Rav Yoh, from the Avi Yezri. That if you have, let's say, a bris on Tisha B'Av, so if Tisha B'Av is in Nitche, then the Bali Bris are permitted to eat. Bali Bris are the mother, the father, the Moel, and the Sandik. Four Bali Bris. The mother, the father, the Moel, and the Sandik. So the four Bali Bris are permitted. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the mother. I didn't make that up. That says the Farish in Shulchan Aruch. It says the father, the Moel, and the Sandik, and then it says the mother also. The mother, the father, the Moel, and the Sandik. That's.
She wouldn't have to fast. She's a Chayah.
Anyway, she's not fasting anyway. So I'm good to Kasha. Okay. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the name of the Rav Yod, that if Tisha B'Av is a Nitche, so then we follow the Gemara's Yontav Shalonu Hayo, so Hisaninu V'lo Hishlamduhu. You fast the half day till after Chatzos, and you're not Mashlim. So then they're permitted to break their fast in the afternoon, after Chatzos. But if Tisha B'Av is not a Nitche, Tisha B'Av is on the 9th of Av, then the Bali Sim, then it doesn't help, the Yontav Shalonu doesn't help. So the question is, and that's the way it's assumed by all the Tanaisim, Asura B'Tavis and Shavas B'Tam is like that. They have a pilpul about some Gedalia, because some Gedalia, the Beis Yosef says, Gedalia was really killed, his yahrzeit really is on the second day of Tishrei. So do we consider it always a Nitche? The fact that we fast on Gimel Tishrei, does that mean that it's some Gedalia is always a Nitche? They say no, the Takana was that you fast on Gimel Tishrei, that doesn't count as a Nitche.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. We learned in the Gemara that they often had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah.
So maybe that's why they did it always Gimel Tishrei, in order not to make any
difference. In the Beis Avad, they knew when Rosh Hashanah was. But outside of the Beis Avad, I guess they had a lot of times 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So the Beis Yosef says that we don't treat some Gedalia always as a Nitcha Rabbi. If some Gedalia is on Gimel Tishrei, we treat it like that's the Zman. Because that's a Takana, that you fast on Gimel Tishrei, even though that's not really the day that he was killed. He's really assassinated on Beis Tishrei. We don't treat it like a Nitcha. So many Poskim, many of the Achrenim say that Taina Sester, even if it's not a Nitcha, you know, Mukdom, not a Nitcha, that's another Chiluk. How come whenever the other time, let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, so you don't fast on Shabbos, so you fast on Sunday. And Shabbos HaBetam falls on Shabbos, fast on Sunday. How come over here, when Purim falls out on Sunday, so fast after Purim. Why do you fast on Arab Shabbos? What's the reason why... you don't fast Tisha B'Av on Arab Shabbos? How come you're not... Why is it when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you're not magdim to fast before? So the Gemara says, Magdumi Puran Huso Loi Magdiminon. It's a commemoration of a very sad event, so you don't want to do it earlier, do it later. So how come Taina Sester, you are Magdim? So the answer is because it's a Taina Shal Simcha, it's not a Taina Shal Avelus. It's not a Zecha to a Poronis. That's what the Rishonim say. That they say that Taina Sester is different. So many Achrenim say, Rabbi Avad Yosef has a truth about this, that by a Chosin, and then Chosin Kala, in the middle of Shivas Me'am Nishta, even when Taina Sester is on the right day, it's not that it's observed on a different day. When Taina Sester is observed on Yud Gimel on Erev Purim, they don't have to fast. I manage Tana, why is it different from all the other fast days? That by Shivas Avitamuz and Tom Gedalia and Tisha B'Av, the only time we make for the Chosin Kala to eat is when it's a Nitche. So the Rav gave the Hezber, why should it make a difference whether the Tisha B'Av is a Nitche or not a Nitche? Why Nitche is weaker Chiyuv? So he explained it differently. He explained based on the Maharam, the Magen Avraham, and Hilchos Tisha B'Av quotes a tshuva from the Maharam Lublin. So he gave a whole hesber on what the Maharam was talking about. So he said like this: if Tisha B'Av is on the normal day, so the day is labeled on the calendar as a Yom Evil. Shivas HaBetamuz is observed on Shivas HaBetamuz, so the day is labeled as a Yom Evil. So how can you got married, or you're bringing a Korban Eitzim, how can you superimpose, you personally, you're going to superimpose on this day a label of a Yom Tov Shalonu? What kind of Yom Tov? It's labeled for the whole Klai Yisrael. Is it Yom Evil? How can you label it? How can you change the labeling of the day? But if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, but you're fasting on Sunday, So that's what the Rav assumed. The real Yom HaTainus is really on Tesov, and it's only a Tashlumen. What do you mean a Tashlumen? Means the Kiyum, the Nihug HaTainus, the fasting is on Sunday on Yudov. But Sunday is not labeled as the Yom HaTainus. The Yom Eivel is really Shabbos. The Nihug HaAvelus of the fasting, the Nihug of the fasting is on Sunday. So the Yom Yudov, or Yom, let's say, Yud Ches, Tammuz. Shavuos HaBeTammuz is labeled as the Yom Eivel, but Shavuos HaBeTammuz falls out on Shabbos, then you don't observe the Tainus on Shabbos, you observe on Sunday. But Sunday is not labeled as a Yom Eivel. So the day is basically a blank day. Oh, if it's a blank day,
you can make your
so
Yom
then if it's a, if you're a Baal Bris, or if you're a Chosen Kala, so for you, we label it as Yom Tov Shalonu Hoyu. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Yom Tov Shalonu Hoyu. You can label the day as Yom Tov, provided that it's not already pre-labeled. If the calendars are printed already, and it says on the calendar that this is a Yom Eivel,
yeah,
before you got married, before your Bris, before you came on the scene, it's already labeled as Yom. How can you relabel the same day? But if the day is not labeled at all, it's a Nitche, then you can label it as Yom Tishamon. So that whole Svara only applies, that chiluk between a Nitche and Nishke Nitche, that's only when you're dealing with a Yom Eivel versus a Yom Tishamon. But on Tainus Esther, it's not a Yom Eivel. Adarab, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. And a Chasen is not supposed to fast. Apparently, even a Tainus Shel Simcha is improper for him. Chasen Daim El Melech, it's a different, it's supposed to be like a Yontif. Fine, a Tainus Shel Simcha, but still, you don't fast a Tainus Shel Simcha and Yontif either. So that's why there's no tie to the Sasri over here. Sure, the day can be labeled as Tainus Esther, but it's not already pre-labeled as a Yom Eivel. It's a Yom Tainus Shel Simcha, but the Chasen is a Yontif Shalonu. So for him, it's a Yontif, so he's not allowed to fast. That's why on Tainus Esther Asvara, that even if Rav Avadya Yosef gives a different hesbah, he goes, what's more chomer than what? So he says that a Tisha B'Av which is a nitche is less chomer than a Tisha B'Av which is not a nitche. So you make him more if it's more kal. And he says a Tainus Esther is very kal. That's why you make him. Tainus Esther is a kal shed a kal.
Halacha
Maisa, if you get married this week,
night,
you
hurry up.
No, you're going to the wedding. That said they're not going to fit.
Right. Well, the wedding, one of the guys in Yeshiva happens to be a Sparti, so he's going to follow Chacham Avad Yosef. But even for the Ashkenazim also, it's not so bad. Rav Avad Yosef gives it the other Hezbah with what's Chom or what's Kal. But this Hezbah is also a very good Hezbah, the way Rav Soloveitchik explained why it's a difference between whether Tisha B'Av is a Nitcha or not. So that whole Hezbah, when it applies to Tainus Esther, wouldn't make any sense, doesn't make any difference. Rebbe. There's the Gemara over here. Hey, Amid Beis. Hey, Amid Allah going over to Amid Beis. The Gemara talks. He wanted to do Bikish Laka Tisha B'Av Lahodelo. So the Gemara, what do you mean Bikish Laka Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av Shenitche. He wanted to do away. That's on the second line from the top of Hamid Beis and Megillah. That's a discussion here. He wanted to do away with the whole institution of a Tisha B'Av Shenitche. Bad enough we fast on Tisha B'Av. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't have to fast. Okay. That's how Rabbi Avadya Yosef goes with that mahalach. Tisha B'Av Shenitche is kal, so therefore you make it. And Tainus Esther is kal shebekal, that's why you can make it. Rav Soloveitchik gave a different hezbah based on the Tshuvas Maharam, Lublin, that's quoted by the Magen Avraham, whether the day has a Yom Eivel or not.
You won't say that by Tainus Esther you're more machmir legabe choyle, that you should fast. Because
it's a
different type of
tannis,
no?
No, it says a tannis Esther, any slight koyev einayim, even if he has a slight problem, he doesn't have to fast, but then he has to fast another day instead. Because the old minig was, you fast zechel, a tannis Esther, that the Esther fasted, fast sometime during this season of the year.
But for another tannis, you don't have to be mashlim.
You only have a head to teeth if you're chol l'shem b'sakon. If you have a head to teeth, you don't have to be mashlim. You don't have to make up another day. Yeah. This whole din of tashlumin is only on tannis Esther.
But if you would be on tannis Esther, not just tamamechish, you also have to be mashlim.
That's a problem. That's a question.
That's a question.
So then let's say you have a chosen.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell him he doesn't have
right.
to fast. Then he should fast another day.
Yeah.
The minig is not so.
Right.
Meaning it's not that you don't fast another day. No.
So why buy a Meichesh Yen, but this not, I mean, it's a little bit
kasha?
Sort of...
It's a good kasha. I don't know.
The Chassid and Kal, are they obligated to have Sheva Brachas in the meaning on Tannis
Esther? No. I'm never obligated to have Sheva Brachas on any of the days.
So just so have to pass.
Sheva Zimam Mishnah, the din is that people make a party in their honor, so then at the conclusion of the benching, you add on the Sheva Brachas. But you're not Pechuyah.
There's no such obligation on...
can't. No, you can't. The chatzim kala can eat. Yeah, but the other people are fasting.
So they have to eat the tzina, or can they eat in the cafeteria?
The cafeteria is not going to have too many customers.
He's not going to go on the street and eat a sandwich.
Everybody knows that the chasam kala does no marisayin. Yeah. If the people don't know, it'll be a problem on marisayin. Yeah. It'll look like they're violating the tana. The Gemara says in the first parak in Brachas that the main reward, the main schar that a person gets for fasting on a tiny sibur, agra the taneso, is tzitkiso. The main reward that you get is not so much for fasting. Yeah. Big deal, so you fasted. Maybe what is that Yitela is Tzedakah. And the Gemara Megillah describes the program, what's the Seder Ayoyim, Anatayna Sibur. So in a certain part of the day, the Bezdin taxes everybody, and everybody has to bring in their checks. So that's why the Minig developed that on Tainus Esther, you should give some Tzedakah. So they have you're not supposed to give the money, Machzah Shekel money, you're not supposed to give it by Mikra Megillah on Leil Purim. You're really supposed to give it on Tainus Esther, because the Iker of a Tainus, the Iker reward of a Tainus, is the Tzedakah that you give. If the people didn't have an opportunity to give the Tzedakah on Tainus Esther, so then they give, second best is to give on Leil Purim. Or let's say if Purim is on Sunday and Tainus Esther is on Thursday. So when do you give the Tzedakah? So you give Machzah Shekel on Thursday, you don't give on Leil Purim on Matzai Shabbos. The more correct month to give the Machzah Shekel is really on Tainus Esther. We're supposed to give on all. Yeah, why do we have Machzah Shekel over here on Purim? Because the Mishnah says, the beginning of Shkolin, the Gemara Megillah quotes it, Be'echad Ba'adar Mashmiyim Al HaShkolin, that Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash HaYakayim, starting from all the Korbanos Tzibur had to be purchased from Machzah Shekel money. From the moment of Klal Yisrael, and every year they had to collect money anew. In the fiscal year, the Beis Hamikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So every year, lachatchila, every year starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the din requires you have to bring the Karbonis Tzibur, the Tamidim Umasofim. Every day they brought a Talmud Shashachat Talmud Shal Bein Abayim, and Menachos Menis came of the Talmud Shashachat Talmud Shal Bein Abayim. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, they're Umasofim. So all of those Tamidim Umasofim have to be paid for dafke by the Machzah HaShekel money. And lechatchila the din is that starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you have to bring the karbonis from the new money that was just newly collected. But the Eved, the Gemara says in Yuma, but the Eved, if you brought the karbonis from the old Machzah Shekel money, is echem nishgefela. But the lechatchila is supposed to be from the new money. So you give everybody a money. So on Rosh Chodesh Nissan they'll have enough money to take out. They used to take out three big sacks full of cash, and that money lasted from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until 2 weeks before Shavuos. And then they took out another three sacks, that's called Truma Salishka. When they take out Truma, they take out sacks, three sacks full of money, 2 weeks before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuos, and 2 weeks before Sukkot. And the sack that they take out 2 weeks before Sukkot, that has to last for 6 months. Till 2 weeks before Pesach. That lasts for a whole 6 months.
Why three sacks? Why do you need three sacks? For each different holding differently?
No. Stuff is so full of money.
Big sacks.
Gigantic sacks
full of money. In one sack.
Yes. That's how the Mishnah describes it.
So for 6 months, they should have had six sacks.
The three sacks is way more than enough. There was always left over. Yeah. It was always Shiare Truma Salishna. It was always left over money.
It was heavy, just.
Then the Mishnah says, the Gemara quotes it over here. The Gemara quotes it over here. And Chafala from the base, the Gemara quotes that Mishnah from Shkolim, that when they would take out the three sacks full of money, so they would mark the first sack number one, the second sack number two, here, B'shol, around 15 lines from the bottom. B'shol Shkupa Shal Shalasom Shebehem Tarmim Mesalishka, Kosalem Aleph Beis Gimel, Lei Deiz Mem Nitrum Arishon. So the Mishnah says the first sack that was taken out full of money, that's the first sack that would use that money first. When they used up all the money in that sack, then they use the second sack. They finished the second sack full of money, they probably never did, then they begin to start using the third sack full of money. So one time in the Mishnah says they wrote Aleph Beis Gimel, and the other time in the Mishnah says that they wrote Alpha Beta Gamma. Mm-hmm. So the Bar Tanura says that it's a machlekes hatanoim machlekes. Some say just a historical machlekes, no machlekes la'alach. And others say no, it's a machlekes. Is it improper to use goyish numbers? So it's like some amachmer when you have a sefer, not to write goyish numbers on top. Well, some of the Rabbeim in the Shiva, it says page 42. It's Arab numbers. What is it?
Arabic.
So some Amachman, they'll say it's Davcha base. They'll say it's Davcha follow from the base. They'll never say it's page 42. That's secular. They'll say page 42. And others hold there's nothing wrong. One of the Rebbe's in Yeshiva says it's the daf that has the four and the two. I'll never say it's page 42. It's the daf that has the four and the two on top. So that's the by Tanura, right, in the Pirush HaMishnah is that that's the machlokes, that the first Tana says you have to write Aleph Beis Gimel. You're not allowed to secularize it to use Alpha Beta Gamma. And the next Tana says gone, it doesn't make a difference. So the Gaonim. The Gaonim, after the Amoraim, the Rabbanon Saburai, then the Gaonim were the heads of the yeshivas. The Gaonim, the name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yankiv, and the head of the yeshiva was Rosh Yeshiva Gaon Yankiv. So as a kid, the Gaon doesn't mean a genius over here, it just means the head of the yeshiva is Gaon Yankiv. So the Gaonim always had to raise funds. There was always a problem of fundraising. But now we have a whole development department. Every yeshiva has a fundraising department. And they did the Gaonim, it was a big problem. So they had to figure out new gimmicks every year. How are you gonna? What are you gonna do? Have an annual dinner and a journal? What are you gonna do? Make ads? You're gonna have a guest of honor? What are you gonna do over here? So in the days of the Gaon, they came up with this Einfall. That the Mansha Beis Hamikdash Hayikaim. Everybody gave Machta Shekel for the Beis Hamikdash for the purpose of Karbonus Dibur. So the Mansha Beis Hamikdash Kaim, the people are saving all that money. This Machta Shekel, the dollar and a half, whatever the Machta Shekel adds up, very little. So that's it, $3. Okay. So they said, let's encourage everybody in Chodesh Adar to make a zeichet to the Machzah Shekel. Everybody should donate Machzah Shekel to the yeshivas. And it's in Chodesh Adar because Be'echa Be'odah Mashmim Al Hashkom. So since it's in Chodesh Adar, and Agri the Taneisa, Tzidkis Tzidikis Tzchar that you get for fasting is for the tzedakah that you give. So you put two and two together, so you should make the zeichel of Machzah Shekel by giving the tzedakah on Tainus Esther. That's how the minig developed. The first chief rabbi, Rav Kook, had a brother who was also a big Talmud Chacham, a very interesting writer. So the Mosad Rav Kook published a whole collection of essays of his, very fascinating essay. He has one essay on this minig, Hagoinim, about the Machtas HaShekel. He just quotes from all the Chuvas Hagoinim. The Goinim in Eretz Yisrael were the ones who introduced this practice. So the Goinim in Bovel were very shocked at this. They said, how can you allow that? The Gemara says that you're not allowed to say behemazu lepisti. You're not allowed to say I'm going to take this behemah for Pesach. Sounds like it's for Korban Pesach. And Mizban Shein Beis Hamikdash Kaim. You're not allowed to shech the Korban Pesach. It's shchutichut. It'll be an Issa Koros of shchutichut. And even if you already have a piece of flesh that's already geshochen, you shouldn't say batazel lepisti, because some may think they're also Korban Pesach. What shech a Korban Pesach is dead already, shen geshochen. How can it be lepisti Korban Pesach? We're still afraid. That's why in Breuers, when they have the label kosher lepesach, it says kosher al pesach. Yeah. It doesn't say kosher lepesach. Why? Nobody should think that it's kosher lepesach for the korban pesach. They say kosher al pesach.
So that the apple sauce or everything?
Everything.
Matzah also, even matzah.
Even things not shaykh to think that it's a korban pesach. The cheese, it says kosher al pesach, which they know is grammatically incorrect, but the reason why they do it is to be machmer on this gemara. So the Gaonim in Bovel were upset. How can you say Machta Shekel? Somebody will really think that they're giving Machta Shekel. So Machta Shekel be Hegdish, so then you can't use it for the yeshiva. If it's Hegdish, you're not allowed to use it for the yeshiva. It'll be Moel be Hegdish. So the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael, it's not even a Gzeira. Half of the people really think that they're giving Machta Shekel. Half of the people think they're giving Machta Shekel. So it looks like you're really giving Machta Shekel, that's the problem. So the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael said, no problem. They have a tradition that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. In the last Mishnah in Shkolin, it says, what do you do if you have an intelligent farmer, a grace of Pikech, he's mafrish Bikurim, his man Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim? What do you do? Bikurim, you can't begin to eat it until you bring it. If you don't bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim are not allowed to eat it. So the Tana and the Mishnah says, Fafa, if somebody was mafrish bikurim, mizman hazeh, mizman shein Beis Hamikdash kayim, is ye rokful. You have to wait till it rots. No one is allowed to eat it. You can't eat it till you have havora. And you can't have havora because we don't have the opportunity to bring it. Or the same thing if somebody designates some money as machta shekel, mizman hazeh, so it becomes hegdish. And Yolach Liyama Melech, he has to throw it into the Yama Melech because he can't use it. He'll be Moel Behegdish. So then the Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon by Yochai. The Tana Reb Shimon disagrees by Bikurim. He says the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, Reishis Bikuri Amos Chatovli Beis Hashem Alokecha. So he claims that Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam, so the Bikurim is not Chal. So Reb Shimon in the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about Bikurim. The Rishalmi quotes a Braisa that Reb Shimon even disagrees regarding Machta Shekel, that if you mafish Machta Shekel, Bizman is that's also not Chal. Garnish me garnish. So the Goinim, Sheberitz Yisrael, had the Yerushalmi. So they claim that they have a tradition, Halachic Reb Shimon, the way it says in the Braisa and the Yerushalmi, that not only Bikurim is not Chal Bizman Hazeh, the Machta Shekel is also not Chal Bizman Hazeh. So there's nothing to be concerned about. Even if somebody really had in mind the Shei Machta Shekel, it's not Chal, and it won't be Hegdish, and there won't be any problem of Mila Behegdish. The Goinim and Bavel said, in Kabbalah, he in the Kabbalah, if that's your tradition, okay, but we never heard of it. We would think that the din is not like Reb Shimon. We would have thought that the din is that one is mafrish, machta shekel bizman hazeh. Machta shekel is chal, and it becomes hegdish, and you're not allowed to use it. It'll be an isim ila behegdish. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Maharil, that we have the meaning to give the machta shekel, but you should have in mind that it's only zechel of machta shekel. No one should think that it's really machta shekel. Some shuls, they put in big letters zecher, and in smaller letters they put Zechel and Machta Shekel, so that no one should mistakenly think that this is really Machta Shekel. That's the question that the Gemara says. When you get married, our meaning is that we do Kiddushin Bekesef. The Mishnah says you can either do Kiddushin Kesef Shtar Rabiyah. So we worked it up as Manazah, we do Kiddushin Kesef. So we don't even do Kesef, we give a ring. What's a ring? Shavu Kesef is Ki Kesef. Let's say when you make Pidyon Aben, you have to give 5 shkolim. So the Gemara says you don't have to give cash. You can give a becher, you can give a piece of jewelry, as long as it's worth 5 shkol. Shavu kesef is kekesef. Shavu kesef is kekesef in Kol HaTorah Kula with 3 exceptions. The Gemara says in Mecharis there are 3 cases where shavu kesef is lav kekesef. One of them is taka machza shekel, and you give machza shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to give daf kekesh. If you give shavu kesef, you're not yaitz in the mitzvah. The second one is pidyon ma'aseh sheni. People know when they go to Eretz Yisrael, it says v'tzarta kesef yadach, you have to have kesef sheyesh olav tzura. You cannot be put in ma'aseh sheni onto shavu kesef. You have to use dafki kesef. And the third one is a din derabbanan. When you go pesel shvua sukkos, you go to the oil regel to buy a carbon oil sriya. You're supposed to purchase the oil sriya with cash. That's a din derabbanan. That's not a din derais. So people, when they want to make the zechel machta shekel, so usually they come with a dollar bill, and dollar bills, paper money, that's a big deal in Achreinim. The Tisfei Tshuva has a few times in Choshen Mishpot and in Yerideya, all discussions from the Chassam Sofer where the paper money has to be in like a kesef, because it is legal tender. The government declares that that's legal tender. So on the one hand, that should be kesef. Or should I say no, that it, since it's only representative value, it doesn't really have that
it's
much.
Not even should be kesef.
So maybe it's not even shavu kesef, maybe it's like shtar. Maybe it's only like shtar. Yeah. So that's the shaila. If paper money is kesef, so you can mamish give machta shekel in the Beis HaMikdash with paper money. But if you hold that paper money is, despite the fact that it's recognized as legal tender by the government, but maybe we should declare that it's shtar, so it's not considered kesef.
It's
not considered kesef, so you wouldn't be able to be yotze the machta shekel in the days of the Beis HaMikdash with paper money. So that's a shayla. If we want to make a zecher l'machzis ha-shekel to support tzedakas, to support the yeshivas, so how far do you have to go with the zecher? So some people are so medactic when they put in paper money that they take out coins and then they put the coins back in. That's a shayla. Others hold that that's already being too medactic. You make it look as if it's mamish machzis ha-shekel. You got to be careful not that it shouldn't look too much like machzis ha-shekel. Or people are going to think that your mamish, you may really have in mind that you're making it as machta shekel. You just want to make a zecher. That's the question. If it's only a zecher, maybe you shouldn't go out of your way so much to insist that you want to give dafke kesh. L'chala day is kesh. That it shouldn't be shtar. Right. Make out a check at $1.50 is also okay, maybe.
Now, the maybe the dafke. Should be given for every in the family, or just enough to give for the head of the family, or what?
The minig is that you give for all of the women were never mechuyev to give machta shekel in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. If they give, we accept. If a guy gives, we don't accept the mishnah. We don't accept from everybody. But if women, every knaini, if they donate it, so we do accept it. Cool. But they're not mechuyev. So all children who are gedolim are mechuyev. Ketanim are not mechuyev.
But if they started to give, then we accept, and then they're not going to continue to give. The Mishnah Shkolim says.
Right. The same.
That's two girsas in the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi have two girsas in the Rishalmi Shkolim, where the Gedolim here depends on 20 or 13. Because in the Chumash, when they gave Machta Shekel, that had nothing to do with the Karbanah Seba, but that was to take a census. And the census was for the purpose of the draft in the army. And now, Loch is you're not allowed to draft anybody in the army younger than the age of 20. That's the Rashi and Chumash points that out. You're not permitted to draft a person before the age of 20. So, for the purpose of the census that's mentioned in the Chumash, it says, Mbedef Mishonah Mamaila, Itain Chumas Hashem. But the Shaitas, does that have anything to do with our Machta Shekel? Our Machta Shekel is for the purpose of Kobanis Tzibur. So, that's maybe you should say, whoever is over Bar Mitzvah. So, that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. They had two girsas in the Yerushalmi. One had the girsa that depends on 20. The other had the gears, it depends on 13. That's the shaila, whether the children between the age of 13 and 20 had to give or not. The Yerushalmi has a clear cut statement. But the two girsas and what the Yerushalmi says. By the age of 13,
also,
age of 20. That's why the Torah Tmima quotes this famous comment. There's a sefer that's known as Shalas of Tshuvas HaRosh. The Besamim, we have Shalas of Tshuvas HaRosh. And then in the 1700s, somebody from Europe published a manuscript. He claimed he had a manuscript, Shalas Tshuvas HaRosh, and calls it Besamim Rosh. And he wrote his Heoris on the bottom that's called Kasa de Harsana. So the Nodi Behuda didn't know the fellow who published the Shalas Tshuvas. He knew his father. His father was a famous, prominent rabbi. So he gave a haskama to the Sefer. They have, I think, in the yeshiva, they have one of the original editions. With the haskama and the Rabbi Yehuda, all the Gedolim gave haskamas because they all knew the father. And then years later, it turned out that the guy was a faker. He has all kinds of apikursa shizachim there. In the name of the Rosh, I remember the Rav once said, it's a dove of Borah. He writes there in the Psalmim Rosh that the laws of Taras HaMishpacha don't apply bizman hazeh. There's no hilchas nida. Because we don't have to be medactic in Tumah V'Tahara. Because Tumah V'Tahara is irrelevant, as man says, all of Hilchas Nid is irrelevant. There's other things also that are absolutely wild. So they assume for sure. Rabbi Yerucham Perlo wrote an essay that was printed, he passed away before the war. So it was printed many years after he passed away in Noam, one of the early volumes of Noam. So he published an essay to demonstrate clearly, 100% clearly, that the whole Psalmim Rosh is a forgery. But for many years, no one read the whole Psalmim Rosh, they didn't realize. So this Heverman, this Kasa de Harsana, he knew how to learn though. Yeah, I'm assuming he knew how to learn. So he has this He'ore that runs as follows. If the kids between 13 and 20 are not mechuyev to give Machta Shekel, then maybe they're not mechuyev to daven Musaf. Because the Mishnah Brura passage is like the Tzlach that women are not mechuyev to daven Musaf because women weren't mechuyev to give Machta Shekel. Shachris Minche, they're mechuyev because Rachmin in it. That has nothing to do with Kavanah Sibur.
Not Shabbos. Shabbos is not Rachman.
No, it's also Rachman. It's also Bakoshis Rachman. Ruchni is Dike Tzarachman. Not Gashmi is Dike Tzarachman. Ruchni is Dike Tzarachman. But Musaf, Taisa says, is not Rachmi at all.
Right.
So the Mishnah Berurah Paskin is like the Tzlach, like the Nodi Behuda, that women are not Mukhayif to Dab Musaf. They don't want to, they don't have to, because they were never Mukhayif to donate Machta Shekel, and the Karbonas HaMasafim came from the Machta Shekel. So if one should adopt that position, the Tzak of the Mishnah Berurah, B'Shem HaTzlach, so then, if children before the age of 20 are not mechuyev to give Machta Shekel, so they're not mechuyev to daven, so then he can't daven for an omer. Even if he wants to volunteer, but he can't daven for an omer. Because just like he can't have a cotton daven for an omer, mishen mechuyev bedover, and in Motiyah Sarab Mi Dechav Osam, an Ein Tvam, and all the yeshivas they have.
Yeah. But how did the women.
The women are mechuyev in Shachris, even though.
Yeah.
Right, so but the Gemara says that the Shachris is Rachmi Ninu.
No, but
Musaf, you can't have Tashlumin. If you miss Musaf, you don't have Musaf the next day.
There's no
mention of Kabbalah in Shachris. Musaf is just in Kabbalah. Right, it's Keneged. He says it's the Zman of Shachris, is Keneged, the institute of the Keneged is Zman of the Talmud Shal Shachar. But the Gemara says basically it's Rachmi Ninu. That's why it's Bakashas Terachim. Rachmi means Bakashas Terachim Chinas. That's why you don't say over yom a batul karbana. If a person missed the shachris, say daven tashlumin. Why daven tashlumin? Because it makes sense rachmininu. But if it would have been mamish only like a korban, then it wouldn't be a whole institution of tashlumin. But Musaf, there is no tashlumin. I says because it's not rachmin. So if it's only connected.
The kabbalah is tumit, and it was supposed to be a kapporah also for divorce, right? The woman didn't need a kapporah or whatever. If they didn't have a chelik in
korban, the korban was offered on behalf of everybody.
But if they didn't give matzah shekel, then they didn't have a chelik in the korban.
No. The korbanos were offered. Let's say some people didn't give matzah shekel.
Right.
Some men didn't give still. The karbanos were offered on behalf of everybody. But the shayla is who's mechuyif to
support
to pay? Yeah, who's mechuyif to support? So if you should put all these together, you say that women are not mechuyif to daven musaf, and less than 20 years old not mechuyif to give machzah shekel, so also not mechuyif to daven musaf. So that's the harifus from this faker, from the kasa d'harsana. So you're right. So sometimes what he writes is good, and sometimes what he writes is crazy. So they're not so sure over here whether this is from the good ones or from the crazy ones. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Ritzei Bamti Yisrael V'Svilosim, he should accept the prayers as if we had offered a korban. Ritzui. V'Nirtzei Lo L'Chaper Olav. The concept of Ritzui, the term of Ritzui, usually appears in Tanakh 95% of the time only in connection with korbanos, right? So the tefillah of Ritzei is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers as if we had offered a korban. But still, the tefillah can exist even if we weren't mechuyev in the karbon.
What do you mean there's no tashmim in
musaf? Yeah, that person didn't have musaf a whole day. But then he doesn't, Taisha says he doesn't make tashlum in the next day. Right. But Taisha says why? Because tashlum is for shachris and mincha was a question whether it makes sense. Because shachris and mincha is kineged the zman of karbon. So maybe I should say, over yom batul karbon. You can't bring the karbon at different times. So then the Gemara says, no, notwithstanding that consideration, we say, no, the emphasis is on the Rachmininu. Tfilah is Rachmininu, and it makes sense, Halavai Shis Palalam Kaloyam Kul, it makes sense to daven 100 times in a day. So if he missed Shachris, let him daven Mincha twice, he can daven Mincha three times, four times, so let him daven Mincha twice. It makes sense to daven a second time Rachmininu. So Taisa says that concept, that Tfilah Rachmininu, makes sense to daven many times, doesn't apply to Musa, only applies to Shachris Mincha Mayur. Musaf is not Rachmininu. Musaf is only Keneged HaKarbonos. So that's what leads the Tzlach and the Mishnah Brura and a whole group of other Poskim to say that women who are not Mechuyev to fund the Machzah Shekel fund, they weren't Mechuyev to pay for the Karbonos HaMusafim, not Mechuyev to Dab Musaf, because Musaf is not Rachmin. The only reason why women are Mechuyev, because Tefillah should be a Mitzvah Seser Shazman Grama. So the only reason why women are Mechuyev, despite the fact that it should have been Zman Grama, is because Tefillah Rachmininu. So Musaf is not Rachmin. The women were never mechuyif to participate in the musaf. They weren't mechuyif in machzah shekel. The male they're not mechuyif to daven musaf.
Musaf is only shaykh to make tashlumin b'mincha. You can never be mash. Musaf. Only the next.
Musaf is kol hayom. Why musaf is kol? Let's say daven mincha at 1:30 in the afternoon. Right. And you didn't daven musaf yet. The whole day goes by. Right. So you should daven ma'arif twice. And the second shmoneser should be for the tashlumin for musaf. So the din is no, there's no tashlumin for musaf.
But the din is you have to be mashlim the shemnesre. I did daven shachris, right? Yeah. And I daven mincha early.
Yeah.
And I didn't say shemnesre twice. Can I just go later on and say shemnesre separately?
That's a shaylin shulchan aruch. You can only make tashlumin
after the next.
That's a question. Maybe the whole zman atfilas mincha. The whole I daven mincha 1:30 and I forgot that I didn't daven shachris. Maybe up until shki I can still make a tashlum.
How do we pass?
I don't remember. Mishnah Brura quotes that.
The Rosh said you have permission. The middle is not shchina by the shemoneser.
Only immediately following. Okay.
Then you can daven follow it. But otherwise, if you don't later on, you don't have any more permission. You don't have any.
But let that person forgot musaf. He daven mincha 1:30. He still has time to daven musaf.
Yes, right.
And then he forgot to daven musaf. So he said, why not make tashlumin after Meir?
Because
that's
the
what Taisa says. No, that's the next tefillah. Taisa says no. There's no tashlum and amusav because it's not rachmin.
Some of the korbanos are corporate korbanos, and some of the korbanos are partnership korbanos.
Right.
Where the corporate korbanos, the women don't have to participate because they're automatically part of the corporation anyhow. Everybody is part of the corporation.
Yes.
In partnership, unless you participate, you're not
partnership. Okay. Yeah. That is correct. The Gemara says that just like tefillah, women should have been partnered because it's a zman grama. But it's an exception to the rule. The Gemara says because tefillah, rachmininu, and women also need bakashas tarachim. So the Gemara says by Purim there's also such an exception to the rule. The famous Gemara Dalet Amud Aleph. that despite the fact that Mikra Megillah is clearly a mitzvah seser shazman grama, and women should have been exempt, Rabbi Shulman Levy says that women are mechuyim because afen harbi oisanes. So this Gemara appears in a few places. One of them is the beginning of Erechin. It says on the side, Erechin Gim Lamed Aleph. So on Rav Velvelas Shiurim on Gemara Erechin, they quote, it was written over by the Talmidim, they quote that he raised the question, and he claimed that it's a machlokes HaRishonim, how to read the Gemara. What's the nature of this din? Afen Harbi Asanes. Doesn't mean, despite the fact that it's a Zman Grama, women should have been potter, the Chachamim made an exception to the rule, they were machayiv women. Or perhaps it means differently. That it's not called as Zman Grama. Because Afen Harbi Asanes, and the purpose of Mikra Megillah is Pirsumi Niso, so it's like a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah seser shalai as Zman Grama. The pasuk says, "V'nigdash to b'sach v'nei soul." We're always obligated to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day and all night. So, mid the Rabbanon, they made that this particular form of Kiddush Hashem has to be done in a zman mesuyim. Has to be done on Purim by Laila by Yom. You can't be yotze today. I'll read the Megillah today. It won't be yotze. Mid the Rabbanon, they made it into a zman grama specific zman. But basically, this is a fulfillment of a din. This is a chelik of a din deraisa, which is basically a mitzvah seser shalei zman grama. So that was the shaila that he raised. What does it mean in the Gemara? Afen Harbi Asanes. Does it mean that since this is a branch of the mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush Hashem, which is a lav zman grama, so the whole mitzvah is a lav zman grama, that's where they're mechuyev? But you say no. It is a mitzvah seser shel zman grama, but they are mechayev women. What's the nafkamina to medrei tahin to medrei taher? So there are few nafkaminas. Same shaila by Pesach Mechanike, same shaila. So he says maybe it'll have enough kamina for Avodin. He says the Magen Avraham points out that there is a machlokes harishonim whether Eved Kenayni is chayv and mikra megillah. In Shulchan Aruch it says Avodim shenishtachruru. Avodim shechrorim are mechuyiv. Mashma from the Shulchan Aruch that Avodim shenim shechrorim are not mechuyiv. And other Rishonim disagree. No, Eved Kenayni is also mechuyiv. So he says that's probably the issue that that's perhaps the issue that they're fighting about. If you should say that it's not called the mitzvah seser shazman grama, so avodim are also mechuyev. If you say that it's a branch of the mitzvah deraisa of Kiddush Hashem, which is a lav zman grama, so every kinyan will also be mechuyev. But if you say no, it's a special takana b'rabbanan, despite the fact that it's a zman grama, the chachamim made a special takana for the women. So then the shaykh to say they never made the takana for every kinyan. Perhaps they only made the takana for the women. That's one nafkamina. The big nafkamina that he doesn't discuss is what Taisus discusses over here. Does a woman have the same chiyuv mikra megillah as a man? Or should I assume that the chiyuv of the women is lower, weaker than the chiyuv of the men? The nafkamina is, can a woman read the megillah to be mitzvah to the men? So Taisus says that the pashup shat in the Gemara is mashma, women are just as mechuyev as men. And the Gemara in Erechin says, hakol kshem likras ha-megillah filo noshim. Sound poshav shav, women can learn from men, but they say the Tosefta says fakert, that a woman cannot be moitzi a man, and the Bahak says fakert, a woman cannot be moitzi a man. So Taisa shows how you can reinterpret the Gemara in Erechin in light of the Tosefta, in light of the Bahag, that the chiv of the women is lower than the chiv of the men. If you say the pshat, Afan Rabbi Yosanes means that it's part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is a lav zman grama, then the women are just as mechuyev as the men. Everything is the same, the Eveknayin is the same. So the pashtus of this whole tesis with the Bahag, with the Tosefta, is not a separate takona. Mikra din, the women really should be potter. It's a zman grama. The man is special takona, and that the women are also mechuyev. The women should also be mechuyev. That's what tesis over here has, the famous kasha. Gabi matzah, we have a pasuk that teaches us kol sheyeshtem about tarcha chomet, yeshtem mikum achol matzah. The tesis on dalet amen aleph, dima maschel. The tesis we read before, that was dalet amen aleph, noshim chayovos. And the third tesis from the top of Dalda Namadalf, Noshim Chayav, is that's where they have this question whether a woman can be Moitzi men and Mikra Megillah. So they say we follow the Bahag that a woman cannot be Moitzi men. We assume that the Chiv of the women is slightly on a lower level than that of the men. And then in the next tesis, Shafin Adi Esanes, the second half of that tesis, after the period. So they raise the question, the Gemara in Psochim Daf Mem Gimel, Omid Beis, has a whole Yalfusa to prove, to establish that despite the fact that mitzvah matzahs and mitzvah seser shazman grama, nonetheless women are mechuyev. It's one of the exceptions to the rule. Kiddush is an exception to the rule. A bunch of exceptions to the rule. The Tosfos Fektakasha, why do you need a whole drosha from a whole yafusa from a pasuk to indicate that women are mechuyev and matzahs, the chzecheli tis mitzrayim, so say after maybe I've done this,
So the male women are mechuyif and matzah. So Taisus gives two answers. One answer over here, and then they tell you to look in Taisus himself. Here Taisus says that this whole reasoning, this whole svar is only midirabbonim. It doesn't work on the level of the raisa. The Gemara Sochem Daf Mem Gimel wants to establish that women are mechuyif and matzah min atayra, not just midirabbonim. They have a real chiyuv min atayra before the chachamim came on the scene. And this svar, Afan Rabbi Yosef, does have svar midirabbonim. So malav l'amard on the level of the raisa, it doesn't play a role at all. The Taisus and Sochem words it differently. There are another two Taisus. And what is Sochem Mem Gimel? What is Sochem Kufches? The last line, they tell you, they refer you to the other. So one of the Taisus and says differently. They say, Afen Hay B'Yosa Nes only applies to a mitzvah derabbanan. Here they say, the Svar only works with derabbanan, doesn't work with Atayra. There they say differently. The women wouldn't even be mechuyev and matzah midirabbanan because an afin habiyas anes. Afin habiyas anes only works on a mitzvah derabbanan. Mikra Megillah, Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, Bekaisus Hasebe, these are all midirabbanan. So on these mitzvahs midirabbanan, you can say afin habiyas anes. But on a mitzvah deraisa, you cannot apply the svar of afin habiyas anes. Why not? That's the shaila, why not? So the Maharalmi Prague has a famous comment on this Taisus. We don't say, our crowd of people in Merkaz Arab, they sit to meet Maharalmi, and everything else is very popular. Maharalmi Prague is very popular. But here is not that popular in Chaim Berlin, learn Maharalmi Prague. But by other people, this is very popular from the Beis Halevi. People know this far from the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi has the comment, why do we eat matzah? Etc. etc. So he says, what's going on here? But Lloyd ate matzahs before they even went into Golus Mitzrayim. And the mitzvah of matzah was formulated by the Ribbono Shel Olam 2,000 years before Bris Olam. The whole Torah was there before Bris Olam. So what has it got to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Beis HaLevi says, yes, that's what it says. Babu Zeh, Osa Hashem Li, Bitzesim Mitzrayim. What do you mean, Baba Matzah? Baba Zela Amartel B'Shal Sheish Matzah Mar Menachem L'Fanachem. So what does it say in the Pasuk? Because of the mitzvah Matzah Mar, that's why the Rabbanu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. Shouldn't it say Fakir? Because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the mitzvah Matzah Mar. So that's what the Ibn Ezra quotes, that one of the Karoim, Ibn Ezra always quotes the Karoim. So one of the Karoim said, that's what it means. The Pasuk means, Babush Yotas in the Eretz Mitzrayim, Vasash Nosan Liyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezeh. The Baruch Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Pesach Matzah Mar because he's Kishma. So the Ibn Ezra gets all upset. He's Mahapech Liber Lekim Chayim. The Karoy is to drain the Pasuk. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. How do you read the Pasuk? So what does the Pasuk mean? So that's where the Beis HaLevi has his famous essay. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam had for his hidden reasons, we don't know what, the Ribbono Shel Olam had. He wanted a mitzvah of Matzah Mar and called Pesach. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had ungefir the whole history of the world to make a golos and Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the matzah and the mara and the carbon pesach should make sense. So it's not that the matzah and the mara carbon pesach are zechel anes. It's not
to do with
it. After
it's
the fact.
Before.
It was a historical event, and this is to commemorate history. No, these mitzvahs were there before the history. These mitzvahs were there before the history came. A mitzvah derabbanan, that's to commemorate some historical event. So that's what the Maharalmi Prague interprets in the other version of Taisus. The Taisus says, Matzah is a mitzvah deraisa. The women wouldn't even be mechuyev midirabbanan to eat matzah mitam afen habiyasanes. Afen habiyasanes can only apply on a mitzvah derabbanan, where the mitzvah midirabbanan is to commemorate some historical event. But the mitzvahs deraisa are not really to commemorate some. Mitzvahs deraisa were there before all of history came into existence. The mitzvahs deraisa for other reasons. It's an interesting einfall.
So why are we keeping
the mitzvahs?
Because of that.
No, it's keep the mitzvahs.
He made those mitzvahs. Somebody has to keep them.
But this you have to go into slavery?
You think so?
Yeah.
That's why there's a shaila where the women are mechuyev and shalachmonis. The Ramos says yes. The Ramos says that just like the Gemara says, women are mechuyev and mikra megillah, so they're mechuyev in all the mitzvahs hayayin. Mechuyev in shalach manis, matanis
hayayin.
In the suda. Yeah. What about getting drunk also? Someone has to prepare the food. Women are going to get drunk, so who's going to prepare the food? So the Rebbe Kivega there quotes some Achrayim, quotes the Pichadosh, who is not so convinced. Maybe women are not mechuyim and shalach manus and matanus not yom. Why not? So some say because mishlach manus ish lereyeh shteitish. The Gemara Taka says whenever it says ish, kala terakula b'loshen zochan emra. We don't have a neutral gender in Hebrew either. It's zochan and keva. So the kala terakula is written b'loshen zochan, but hishva kasev ish v'ish. The women are the same. But whenever it says the word ish, it means ish v'lo isha, unless you have a pasuk to indicate otherwise. And maybe here, since it says mishlach manus ish. The Reyehu is asvara that maybe it comes to exempt women, that women are part of Mishalach Manus. But others say differently. No, that this whole idea, Afin HaBiyas HaNes, only applies, Taisus says himself, only applies to mitzvahs de Rabbanah. Doesn't apply to mitzvahs de Raisa. So maybe we should say that Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Damyan, a mitzvah mid de Rabbanah that's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh, maybe it has the same status as a mitzvah de Raisa. So Mishlach Manas and Matanas Levyonim and Suda, those take the Ferish in Tanakh. But so you may Mishta the Simcha Mishlach Manas and Matanas Levyonim, that's black and white, that's the Ferish. Mikra Megillah doesn't say the Ferish. Mikra Megillah doesn't say, in the whole Megillah, doesn't say anywhere you mechuyev to read the Megillah. It says, Hayamim Ha'elim Nizkarim Benasim, and the Gemara says the word Nizkarim means that it's spoken of. Lahazikir, not that the days are remembered, but the days are spoken of. So spoken of is an allusion to Mikra Megillah, but it doesn't really say you have to read the Megillah. So that's why the Chedina Rav, right in his Tshuva Seif and the Dovid of Neshorim, he disagrees with the Mincha Salozah, with the other Achrayim, the Turiyev, and a whole group of Rabbi Kivega, a whole group of big major Achrayim want to say Mincha Salozah is not for the major, but Rabbi Kivega and the Turiyev and all. So the major Achrayim say that. Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah. Mikra Megillah is treated on a higher level than a Stam Mitzvah from the Rabbanon. It's like Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Damyan. And if a person is Mesupik, if he missed the word in the Megillah, you have to say Safik Berais L'Chumra, Safik Divrei Kabbalah L'Chumra. So the David Meshorim disagrees with all. Let me quote a Rashi at the end of Tainus, that Divrei Kabbalah Heisnar, it's only called Divrei Kabbalah if it's a din that's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh B'loshen Tzivui, that it says you have to do this. It says V'oso osami mei mishta v'simcho v'mishlach manis v'shrema, it says you have to do this. It says you have to do it. Mikra Megillah never really says you have to do it. It says it's done. Yomer is Karim and Asim. The Jews read the Megillah. It doesn't say you have to. We know Baal Peh, the Torah Shem Baal Peh Tov, the tradition has it that you have to read the Megillah. The Ovis Ichta says you have to read the Megillah. But that's a din de Rabbanan, that's not elevated to the level of Divrei Kabbalah because it doesn't appear in Tanakh, the Loshon Shel Tzivui. So that's what others want to taina against the Ramah, that maybe Afen HaBiyas HaNes can only be Mechayiv women on a mitzvah de Rabbanan, not on a Divrei Kabbalah, like not on a Divrei Torah. So just like Afen HaBiyas HaNes cannot apply to Matzah, so perhaps it also cannot apply to Mishlach Manas and Matanas Labiyadim and to Suras Pur. Maybe women are exempt from all of these. Shailan Shohanah, the Ramah says the women are mechuyev, and Rabbi Kivega quotes the Svara that perhaps it's not. Yeah, I'll just close one Maimer Agada. The Gemara in Yumet gives a whole Agarata. We don't have this written in Tanakh. The Gemara tells a whole Agarata that when Shaul HaMelech was instructed by Shmuel HaNavi that he should wage war against Amalek. So he was heartbroken. He was such an edelah person. He said, how can you have such achzorius? Didn't the Torah? How can you have such achzorius? You have to be careful to be edel when you're killing offer. So that's why he left over. He didn't want to kill our God. He had rachmonis. So then Shmuel HaNavi was angry. And he said, wrong. Kol amarachim al ha'achzorim lebesof nasa achzor al ha'rachmonim. This Shaul HaMelech, who has such edelkeit, that he helped, it rubbed them the wrong way. Later on, he wipes out the whole city. No vira koinim. What was their chet? They were machnas serach when David HaMelech was starving to death. They didn't know that David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. Shaul wanted to kill him. They thought the man is dying, so they gave him lachem aponim. They gave him food to drink, to koach nevish. So these tzaddikim in the city, they were rachmanim. So Shaul HaMelech wipes out the whole city. L'sos nasa achzor al rachmanim. Some people feel. Yeah, this Asik during the Mohammed in Mohammed Shlomo Galil, when they were chasing after the PLO and they were shooting them there. So the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael had a whole machlokes. Some Rabbanim said that when the Israeli soldiers go in, they shouldn't shoot. They have to go open the door first and see whether they're civilians or the PLO. And after they check everybody's ID card and everybody check everybody's passport to find out, then they can shoot. And one of the Rabbanim said, what do you mean? How do you fight? You have to you shoot to kill. A war is a war. What are you going to play footsie? They're going to kill you. And a lot of Jewish soldiers, they call it Taharat HaNeshek. Taharat HaNeshek. You have to be careful when you're fighting a war. Rabbanim, you have to be careful. You don't kill civilians. You don't kill innocent people. But in the middle of the war, you don't know whether they're civilians or they're PLO.
Yeah.
That's what every war, that's the definition of every war. A lot of civilians get killed accidentally. That's the way you have to fight a war. You have no brayer. So that's the shaila. When people are going to start to become bigger tzaddikim than the Rabbanu Shel Olam, there is an inyan of midas chasidus. The Gemara encourages, the Torah encourages, you have to go this din.
And then
and then there's lifnei mishura sadin, the Rabbanu Shel Olam shows you the way, and you have to go. He tells you the din only requires here. But if you really have avas Hashem, you should go further and bein adam lamokins and bein adam lachaveris in all areas. The Rabbanu Shalom shows you the way, you have to go further. But if the Rabbanu Shalom tells you that I implanted within you midas achzorius, every midah that the human being has was implanted within his Baal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be used at some occasion or another. So if he gave us midas achzorius, we're supposed to use it sometime or another, not just supposed to be kaivish the yetzer hara, never to use it. People have a desire to eat. So you're not supposed to fresh the ice cream and cakes and candies all day long. Supposed to eat food, to eat food to remain alive and so on. Some people never don't have an appetite, so they die from malnutrition. People get sick from not eating. So every desire that a person has, he has to use it, was implanted within him to be used. That's why they're called midas. The midas have to be used with the mitamas. Every midah has to be used at some time or another.
Some people have higher level of rahmanas, some people have less, some people have higher, and
that's correct. Okay, but if the Rabbanu Shalom tells you that now you have to use the midas achzoris, and I want to be a bigger tzaddik, I want to go the hepach, not that I'm going the same direction, a little more. Yeah, so once a person is going to have his own cheshbon, then the whole hierarchy of values, the whole system of values is going to be distorted. That's what the Chazal say. Kol amarachim, alu achzorim, lebesoif nase, achzor al harachim.